Father, we thank you for the challenge to look at life soberly and realize that there are people out there who are suffering, who are in sorrow because of multiple deaths within the same family. We pray for this particular family and ask you to comfort their hearts as they cope. We pray for your blessings as we think about all the challenges which are there. We pray that you will help us to find faith and hope. Give us strength, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, this is just not only in Northeast India, over in Myanmar, we have the same thing. We have a house of hope that we built for students and all that. So one of the people helping to look after the place there is, as you know, again here, death came very, very suddenly. And at 40-something, the person just passed on and now leaves behind two children. And the two children will become part of our the House of Hope thing here. It was really meant to be sort of just a short stay for people. And then the person who works with us there suffered bereavement. And then suddenly, the very ministry of caring for others becomes very real, because the people for whom you're caring, for you're looking after, has just passed on. And this becomes a real challenge. So let's read Revelation 19 along these lines. And we think in terms of the hope that we have. And after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, right now, this is something that we need to look at. And it is the word is to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Salvation, glory, honor, power belong to the Lord, our God. Right? And then we look at, for true and righteous are his judgments. He has judged the great harlot who has corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Well, this is the first part of it. And then again, they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down, worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, amen. Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. You know, as we look at this particular passage for a short while, and, if only we can look at life along these lines. Sometimes we look at life from a very personalized standpoint and we fail to see the bigger, broader picture, right? So when we look at what's happening, well, first and foremost, we look at the sense of worship that is there. So when we look at the word hallelujah, it's the same, whether you spell it one way or the other, there are variations of spelling, that's not a problem, right? And the word hallelujah literally means, it's like a cry to the Lord to save. So the first word is, Lord, save us. And the reply came immediately, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. So sometimes we pray for something and we don't know how to see how the Lord answers. But if you look at it very carefully, the word hallelujah is often, it has two elements. One is a prayer for salvation. Two is a praise for salvation. So there are two aspects of it all, and this both aspects will be there. So the first hallelujah is, you know, when the people shouted, asking the Lord to come and save, right? Hosanna. So the idea of hallelujah always has both elements. That's why you see this here mentioned. So we call this Hallel. Basically, it is a praise and a prayer part combined together. Right? So it's not just simply praise. And you ask us, what do we praise God for? And the reality of it all is that it begins with crying out to the Lord. What are the things we should cry out for? Automatically, the word is salvation. Right? So when we reach heaven's shores, I mean, one of the biggest thing you're going to have. You know, in heaven, you're not going to be able to boast about what you've done on earth. You're not going to be able to boast about anything that you have done on earth. The key thought must be that of simply salvation. And if you think about you being in heaven, you're thinking of the glory and the honor and the power belonging to the Lord. I mean, that's the key thing. I mean, if you were to honestly look at life and you ask yourself what that's all about. So when we think about God, what do we think about? And we seldom think about these things here, but we should. Right? So when we think in terms of the presence of God, if we think in terms of what salvation we have that the Lord has given to us, and we should offer praise in thanksgiving to God as part of our prayer, right? Because as you praise, you cannot help but ask yourself, what am I praising God for? And it would be the salvation that we ask for, and it is given. So that's why you combine the idea of prayers, of prayer and praise together. But it's sometimes kind of hard to appreciate all these things here until you actually have experienced it personally, and then you understand, right? I took a short break over in China this week, and the first thing that I noticed was that the whole place is just one permanent haze. Seriously. So the moment you see haze, you say, wow, how does that affect you? Watch the blood pressure, it goes up. Now, I didn't realize this until you measure it, until they say, hey, how come that went on? So when I came back, perfect again. Right? A bit as in perfect, as in better than perfect. It's less than 120, 80 kind of perfect. But there, wow, you just really worry. What do? You, Lord, you know, Psalm 121, I will lift my eyes to go up, you know. Right? And this is very important. So people told me, but Pastor, you're going to the place where it is the birthplace of the hot pot, the birthplace of mala. They eat everything spicy and salty. This is not true. Then the person asked, how would you like your food? I said, not salty, not spicy. No problem. That's done. Really? So that was how the Lord provided. Sometimes you're going to see the Lord and you cannot but say hallelujah. So sometimes you see the Lord. To me, it's funny things that I look for whenever I go. I always look for funny things. Things that tells me that the Lord is there. So when you see the big giant panda, of course, the giant panda is sleeping all the time anyway. You see one. I mean, this was amazing. So first and foremost, how many people will attend the place at any time of the day, any day of the week? I would estimate at least 20,000 people. Thousands and thousands of people. And then you're going to get tickets and everything. And then we read a little sign that says, just come anyway. And we show them a passport. He says, you are senior citizen. You are 60 and above. 60 and above, it's called citizen. Please come, free. Well, I thought, that's a nice way of looking at these things here. It's free. So then we went at the place there, and it was, suddenly the rain came. It was to me a real answer. Well, you asked for rain, right? I did. Because suddenly the haze cleared. I saw blue skies for at least once, rather than the everyday little haze, and the blood pressure kept on climbing up all the time. And then the problem is we're caught without umbrella. So how to look for a place to buy an umbrella? But the nearest place would be it's a very big park, 1.5 kilometers away. By the time you get there, either the rain has stopped or you are drenched, too wet to go and use the umbrella. What for? So what's the best thing to do? Lord, help. I will lift up my eyes. And so one group of people who were sitting there and sheltering from the rain suddenly decided, stop, they went off. Right? And guess what they left behind? Two umbrellas. There. So we look around, there was nobody there. So what can I say? The Lord's provision. Because I couldn't return it to anybody, couldn't give it to anybody. And if you give a stranger an umbrella, you might get knocked on the head. Why you want to do that? So the best thing to do, use it. So the whole park experience was borrowed umbrella. Did I take it back? Of course not. We just leave it for whoever will benefit from it. But I looked at it and I said, amazing. So in the birthplace of the mala hot pot thing, I didn't have to taste that. I can't take that kind of food. Right? The provision of two umbrellas. It's not somebody chopped it. Nothing to chop. It's just nobody was there. The two umbrellas were waiting to be used. So what can you say? But Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Salvation. You know, I hope you understand. Sometimes there's little things of life which are there and you're just absolutely amazed at what it's all about. Right? So you really want to see the Lord's hand in all these things and then let it be a natural expression. So when we sing hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power, everything about life, about glory, about honor, about power, they all belong to the Lord. No matter how you look at it. And the provision of all of these things here is for us to see. It's whether we can see them, whether we can respond to them, or we can't. But when you see things like that, and it's all the time, and you know, my experience with rain has been marvelous for the last, 36 years over in India. And almost without fail, there will always be a shower of blessing before the meeting comes. And it would be a wonderful time of great relief for everybody. And you see the Lord's hand, and you cannot but say to the Lord, Lord, this is your salvation. This is your glory. This is your honor. This is your power. Our part is to recognize. Our part is to rejoice. Our part is to say to the Lord, all these things are yours. And it's His to show us. And if we know how to rejoice in these things here, then it will always be a happy time. Because you learn how to, trust the Lord for all of these things which are there. I mean, you think in terms of the number of older people in China, and you think of every day they give free things like that. And I'm just absolutely amazed how much, you charge to go down to any of our bird parks and all, it costs a fortune just to go enter in, there it's go ahead free. So I'm very, very, very challenged. You look at the number of older people, and thousands of them, all old people, and they're just happy to be there because they don't have to pay and all they do is a walk around. And they stop people from smoking inside the area down there. And so you have a smoke-free environment and free for all the older ones. It's for the Lord to show us, to give to us. And our part is to recognize, rejoice in these things here, and you'll be a far happier person. And that is something that we need to think about very, very, very much, right? So then we take a look at this part of it. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot. And the word here is judgment. Judgment to come one day. Right? We'll see this whole idea of the great harlot, meaning to say, this is literally a false religion that is spreading all over the world. Right? It doesn't matter which country we are in. This is why I hesitate to call this a Roman Catholic Church, for good reason. Because we're looking at something that is yet to come. But the corruption that is there is become very real. And so you ask yourself, what is it that is that speaks of corruption that is all over the place? And you begin to realize that the Lord has to judge. Right? So a lot of these things here, the corruption that we are looking at, it has corrupted the earth. Now, that's interesting to blame it on. Interesting. This is why you see this. That's why there are some people who are so deadly against religion. Part of the problem is that it's just in the hands of unscrupulous people. Religion has been made, has been utilized by people to literally hurt and destroy lives. There's no question about it, right? So we're not going to try to defend that which is wrong. We're going to say that one of these days, God will judge. And the judgment will come. Whoever it is that is guilty, right? Whether you are part of the whole thing or whether you are in the center of it all, at the end of it all, the judgment will come. So it doesn't matter if people say, well, you know, I am... When some people take pride in sort of denominations, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. To me, that's really not something to truly rejoice in. But the danger is where religion becomes a problem, where, you know, it is inexcusable. When we look at abuse of children, child abuse, and in the name of religion, and has been carried out for centuries, and the church has remained silent. How do you understand that? Now, this is going to be, one of these days will come judgment. And it doesn't matter who, what denomination you belong to, no matter how big the organization, no matter how it is, the danger of it all is that it will one day be judged. And there's no escaping the reality of it all. So the first part of it is to talk about salvation, glory, honor, hallelujah. Now the second part of it is interesting there, right? True and righteous are his judgments. And this is the second reason for us to rejoice in. And again, they said, hallelujah, right? So when we really shout a praise of hallelujah to the Lord, it's not just general, it's specific, right? So if I were to think in terms of why I want to honor the Lord, why I want to worship the Lord, why I want to praise the Lord, why I want to rejoice, first reason, salvation, honor, glory, power belong to the Lord. This is my recognition of the, that's the first part of it. Two. Now, if I want to look at how God will one day judge, and a judgment will come one of these days, what happens then? Well, the second response is also hallelujah. That's interesting here, right? And her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne and saying, amen, hallelujah. Right? So when you look at reasons, what are my reasons for worship today? And I hope that we will be able to find more than one reason to do what we need to do, to just really thank God. Right? Now, this is something that we often take for granted. Right? So we take a look at all the things which we should, I mean, depending on how we want to look at it. And we look at this, in this case here, where we look at how the church, right? Now, the great harlot is distinguished from the churches that are mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3. There, they were definitely called the church. They're called golden lampstand, right? There's no question. But the word harlot is not used to describe as such, right? So this is why I distinguish between your idea of the church as it exists and a religious organization, whatever it stands for, right? And the religious organization that stands for, that is corrupt, you can call it by whatever you want, right? The Mormons don't call their church a church, they call it the temple. Doesn't matter what you call it, right? Sometimes they call it a house, a prayer, India, they call it the house of prayer all the time because they don't, the word church is sort of a taboo word. All right, let's call it the house of prayer and whatever you want to call it. That's not a point. The whole problem is you have a problem of unfortunate situation where there is so much corruption in the religious activities and all that. And the greatest fear is that of judgment. And will the judgment come? And the answer is yes. This is why we make sure we keep our noses clean, we keep our hands clean, everything here, because of this fear of judgment that God will one day bring. And we just cannot be associated with that judgment of the Lord. So when judgment comes, what is our response? And our response must be same, praise. You know, we also look at these things and we say, ayah, sayang, how come like that? You know, the correct response is that of hallelujah. So when you see the harlot being judged by the Lord severely, you know, you when you say hallelujah, you almost dare not to say too loudly because others will look at you. Why you rejoice over this? It's almost as if we cannot say a word against something that is wrong. And you know, the reality of it all is we can and we should. And the word is hallelujah, which calls for is a very strong and positive response, right? I mean, you take a look at the corruption scandal with the Moonies, Sun Myung Moon Group, right? So the late Reverend Sun died, and he left behind an empire, literally an empire, right? He left behind billions for his children, his family to look after. Now, while he was, most of his life was spent in America, the reason why he fled from South Korea because he didn't want to pay taxes. So he was fraud charges were sweep over. And now they are also caught up with problems and difficulties. And we are looking at hundreds of thousands of people who belong there. And then they are being hauled up in court. Don't know whether they will be convicted or not, but because a lot of the parliamentarians, a lot of the ministers there are associated with this family. So that's the kind of corruption that we're seeing. That's what we mean by corruption all over the place. Right? But one day they will be judged by God and you can't get out of that. Right? You can explain anything. You can justify anything you want to. But when it comes to God's judgment, then the answer would be true, righteous judgments. Does the person deserve all that? Yes. Does the person deserve to go to jail and all that? Yes. Will God commute the same sentence? No. Will God give that pardon? No. You see, this is human abuse a lot of times. Until we don't know what's right, what's wrong. So it's a question of whom you know. Not what is right. Well, when it comes to God, it is true and righteous judgment. And when we look at true and righteous judgment, our response must be, hallelujah. Not because we are righteous. Not because we are self-righteous, but simply because God's judgment is true and righteous. So when things happen, then you have to ask yourself, how does it work? That's something that you think about very, very carefully, right? Judgment that is there. And again, they said, hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever. In other words, it's going to be destroyed forever. That's the mean idea of the smoke there. And then the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, sat on the throne, and saying, amen, hallelujah. Right? And then the third occasion, a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you, his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. Right? So our response, those of us who are just part of the whole congregation, if we understand it correctly, it would be, yes, this is correct. This is true, this is righteous, this is correct, Praise the Lord. Amen. Right? Even in the midst of bad times, can we actually say that? And the answer is yes. Right? Now, this is something that you want to think about very, very carefully. Because sometimes the judgments that will come become very, very challenging to look at. But look at verse 6 now. Then I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thunderings. And they were saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Now, this is something very, very special and beautiful to look at. So we have got reasons all now. First, for the salvation, the glory, honor, power that belongs to God, we now realize. First, hallelujah. First, praise the Lord. Right? Then we look at the judgment that God is going to mete out against the great harlot and against all those who are involved in corruption. And our response must be same. Hallelujah. Honor, praise the Lord because of his true judgments. Right? So then we take a look at all the third part of it, and the rejoicing part of it. This is known as the marriage of the Lamb. This is where the Lord and his church will now be together. Right? This is used as a comparison of a wedding. And it is a very beautiful thing that because we read the marriage of the Lamb has come. Right? And this is important. And his wife has made herself ready. So definitely nothing to do with the Hallowed Church. Nothing to do with that which is wrong, which is unrighteous. Absolutely nothing that is there. That is very, very important. Right? And it was granted to her to be arrayed in fine linen. Right? Clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So sometimes if you look at the things which are there and you cannot but look at the things which are kind of sometimes a very, very challenging thing to look at things from the Lord's standpoint. Right? So when we look at what it is, what it means to look at the church, look at Chapter 2 and 3, the church is being rebuked. The church is being chastened. The church is being literally scolded by the Lord for all its wrong activities. Now, we jump from 3rd chapter to the 19th chapter. So in between along the way, the church would have literally addressed the problems, corrected the problem. Those who will not are gone. Those who can and will form the church. And it is the little thing we call the righteous acts of the saints. And it's the righteous acts that to me are the special things that we must look at. Right? Now, I'm just going to use this. The word righteous is a very general sense of the word. I'm not new to China. I have been to China in the days when if you have to be 40 years old, apply for special permit to go to China. Those I was there when it was opened up. And it was there to hopefully to explore the possibility of me building a church there. But instead of a church, a school was built and was donated. And it was there. But the reception that I have is quite different because I sat in a car that had a Chinese red flag. So it was quite different. There were cars in front, there were cars behind, no traffic jam. Because all cars, there were very few cars then. And the lanes were very big and everything was nice, but it stayed car kind of thing. So big reception all the time with all the local governors and all that. This is not a real China that I wanted to see. So, okay, that's over. So I went another time, and again here, not very impressed because things were so dirty and everything else. But this time around, my eyes were open. Because Our toilets in Singapore, compared to them, we are third world. I couldn't believe the cleanliness of those places. I said, seriously? I was just amazed at the airport, where there are thousands of travelers and everything is kept clean. And the best part of it all, they notice we are not local people. So you can't escape them. You know, they look at me and they will come and says, can I help you? And they were so absolutely nice about everything else because you are a foreigner and we recognize you. You are Chinese, you are a foreigner. Yeah, yeah. And they just made everything possible, really as nice as possible. But the little righteous things that I saw were the things that really touched my heart very much. Have breakfast in the hotel, it's common, normal. But something that I saw was very unusual. After the breakfast, there was one guest who went down there with a paper bag. And openly, she took the tongs and put in whatever she wanted into the paper bag. Put in vegetables, put in bun, put in meat, put in whatever it is. In front of everybody was wondering, what? I mean, you just had breakfast. And went off. I was stunned again when another man, older man, came along and he said, he had an even bigger paper bag. And he did the same thing. He helped himself to the whole thing. You know, just puzzled. You had to ask the people, why? How come this is big done? Sort of, hey, do you want or not? No. Not like, but I just cannot understand what is this. You know? And the person said, it's all right. In fact, we are supplying the paper bag. We're giving it into a box. You can help yourself. That's too much food. That they were actually giving away the food for those who wanted them. I looked at it and it just blew the mind. How is that possible? It was there. But I was not a recipient. I would not dream of doing that because this is not me. But to see that being done like this was really, really amazing. Well, wanted to sit one, so one after evening time at end of the day, just went to try to see the local dessert and wanted to see something different. He said, this is only here in this district, nowhere else. Don't know what it was. It was some kind of milk, but I didn't know what it was. And then some kind of a ginger and put it inside. He says, we got to wait for 3 minutes. Right? We'll pour in the thing here. It takes a few minutes for it to settle down, then you can eat. In the meantime, the person said, here is another piece of dessert. Are you serious? But I didn't order this. They said, no, it's free. I don't know why they keep on giving free things. But there they were. It's for you to try. And this was by a young worker. And it was 8-something in the evening. It was a young worker, very happy, very nice person. I said, can you do this? I mean, you're not a manager or something. He says, no, I can do it. And so the person ordered it and then put it there, enjoy. Expected nothing, no tip, nothing, absolutely nothing. It was just doing it. Why? Because I look pathetic? What? Because what is it? Do I look hungry? Do I look old? Do I look tired? What is it about me that made a person say, you can have this thing free? And they say, no, it's not about money. It's just enjoy. We just want you to enjoy. This is our local delicacy. I cannot imagine any Singapore shop giving anything free. Absolutely. And that was, again, are you serious about all these things here? See, the little righteous acts that we are talking about, the little things that we do, and we are doing it literally to anybody, to everybody. Now, I thought that was something very nice. out at the hotel down there, and they had a big sign that says, would you like to, and they put it very nicely, would you like to share your gentle clothes with others who are in need? I was very moved by that. Your gentle clothes. I'm not so sure that my clothes are gentle clothes, but it's just put in a, would you like it? Well, I was very moved. I came back with the only shirt I have. All the rest gave away. And I just wanted to be a part of the whole thing. And I think this is something that we are looking at, the righteous things of life. The righteous things of life are the things we wear. So when we look at how God clothes us, it's not physical clothing. It's the little things we do. And you look at a person and you realize this person is dressed in fine linen. Why? Look at the things that are being done. I mean, to me, what was really surprising, because I am just another one of millions of people who travel there. Right? Well, this is one of the reasons why I like small towns. I like small areas, because this is the old village mindset that is still there. The presence of the chairman, of the president, is not there. The presence of the army, of the police, not there. The presence of all these big political people are just absolutely missing. What is left behind are all the older folks which are there, because many of them work very, very hard. The first taxi driver I used, so he said, thank you for using my taxi. I've been waiting for a customer since 5 o'clock. A plane landed at 7 o'clock. So I said, well, you only got 2 hours. He said, no. I've been there at the airport from 5 a.m. this morning. You're my first customer. He waited 12 hours. So what about your lunch? He said, I cannot afford to miss my passengers, my clients for lunch. I have to work. I have to do this. So he waited literally 14 hours. It was a very long wait, because he drives those with a long distance, like not the short ones, those with a long distance drivers. And he says, I'm very happy to serve you. And old as he was, he helped to carry the bags and everything. He is absolutely nice about everything. The righteous acts. Now, non-Christians are capable of righteous acts. And we are reminded that we are Christians. How much more should we be capable of doing these righteous acts? Because that is what we are going to be clothed with. This is a description of the church. So when I went down there and I saw all these things being done for older people, free things for all the older people. They can go to any amusement park. You are 60 and above, all free. 10,000 people were there at any one day. Multiply it by the number of years, days in a year. 60 and above, all free. It would cost the government a huge bundle. And they would do it. Because they are old. The old Chinese ethic is still there, to regard the old. And it's a very, very special characteristic that we want to always bear in mind. Right? So when you look, come back and look at how the church was meant to be dressed, the church is now, has made herself ready. Now, this is important. You have to prepare yourself. You've got to make yourself ready. The church has to make itself ready for the coming of the Lord. Right? We should be looking forward to the next great event, the marriage of the Lamb, because we will be joined to the Lord in a very special way. This is called the marriage of the Lamb. First part of it is make yourself ready. Now, let's see. Part of it is, how is the bride going to be dressed? It cannot be just off the rack. It must be fine linen. Right? Now, when you think about linen, fine linen, I've read about wedding gowns that cost $4 million. And, you know, I couldn't understand that. How that, why would people do that? But when you take a look at this picture here, then you understand it a little bit better. Arrayed with fine linen, clean and bright. So the fine linen, what is this, the fine linen? The righteous acts of the saints. If non-believers can do things which are righteous, how much more those of us who are there? I think the most tear-jerking moment for the whole week was to catch a musical, because they have it in a translation in English as well. But I know the story. This was the birth of the Kuomintang. And this is the birth of the Chinese, the Communist Party. And I read a lot about Chiang Kai-shek, and but this is post-war. 1949 was the day, was the year. And they made a huge musical out of it. And that musical is just like Les Miserables in production. Massive, huge, impressive. And they told simply the story. They did not honor the chairman Mao. They did not honor the president, nothing. It's just about the local people, how they were betrayed, how brother would kill brother, how people would betray their relatives, their friends, long-time friends, would send to jail and kill, executed publicly, hanged and everything else, until the people cried out and said, stop. It was such a moving moment, because this is a story of how the people had to choose. If they do not choose to revolt against these wicked leaders that they had in their country, the whole country would have been destroyed. And the people arose and they said, we will resist all these wicked, cruel, corrupt leaders. And this is where the people fled from there and went over to Taiwan. And when came the rest behind, Chongqing is the place where of the birthplace of this. I know this story well. But to see it presented as a musical, to see suffering, children, I mean, being killed like that, they were trying to tell a story of how children were being killed along the way because of corrupt leaders. Tears came. Unbidden. And you know, to see the number of people who were involved in all, so you understand why the Communist Party became what it is. Not because you are supportive, far from it, but because you see on the other end, it's like the Harlem Church corrupting the whole nation. Right? There were so many collaborators with the Japanese conquerors. There was so much corruption during those days, and there were questions, who's going to lead after the Second World War? And of course, unfortunately, the West paints Chiang Kai-shek as a very good Christian man. Far from it. And you look at a story from a perspective that is really different, that you begin to realize why the people chose what they did, right? To them, all the people who speak about religion were useless. The people who were with the Japanese collaborators were people who were corrupt. And the national leaders, they were just people who just, unfortunately, they were unbridled in their greed, avaricious, wicked, in every sense of the word, people were being killed for nothing. It was a very moving moment, because it was the different standpoints that I have begun to experience from a different standpoint. And it was something that was very, very deeply moving. And when you look at what it is all about, then you see how it is for us to be a church, to look forward to the day. I mean, we all groan under the problem of corruption along the power, man, people out there in the world, people who abuse their rights and all that. It just, they cannot help but groan and cry out to the Lord. And the word is Hosanna. And then it has to be replied with Hallelujah. So I look forward towards a day when we will sing Hallelujah with God, with all the 24 elders and all the living creatures and all who are there, multitude of them. All right, praise God, His servants and those who fear Him, small and great. Every one of us should be able to say, praise the Lord, Hallelujah, salvation belongs to the Lord, and we are part of that salvation. It's something that we want to really long for and look forward to. Well, think about these things here. So chapter 19 offers a totally different picture, one of worship, of praise, of thanksgiving, of rejoicing in the Lord's goodness. And we just want to be a church ready, making ourselves ready for the day when we will see the Lord. I take this seriously. I am even more working harder to prepare myself for the day when the Lord will call me home. You know, I see this more and more with every passing year. My heart belongs to the Lord more and more. And heart longs to be with the Lord more and more. Seriously. And this is a beautiful picture. One day, just to be part of the crowd of people. I mean, this is very important for us to see. The Chinese audience attending drama, attending musicals, is no longer shout here, shout there kind of thing here. That audience that was there was a very sophisticated audience. They knew how to, they would tell you, please don't change places. You know, Singapore, you go and pick those nice, pay low, cheap seats during intermission, change places, we'll go down there, go to the better seats. You don't see that in China. You stay where you are. You don't. You don't take advantage. You just don't. And when it came to an end of it all, and the people were rejoicing, the people literally used their phone cameras to just literally wave at the people there. And I say, wow, this has become a very sophisticated audience. Things can improve. Things can change. From what I first said, I had a dread going to China. I went there because it was a mission once. That was many years ago. I went down there to see someone say, come visit, because it was a friend who was there. Look after you. Don't worry. My driver will be there to look after you. You can use the driver. You can go ahead. The whole week, the driver will be with you. This is my driver. He works for me. He will listen. He will be at your back and call for the whole week. Okay, went down there. And this one was a totally different experience. Well, if the church can only learn from all of these things here, if non-Christians can behave well, if they are capable of righteous acts, how much more the church? How much more as believers we should be there with righteous acts? So that's why I said, okay, here are all my shirts. I'm giving that away. Small thing, right? You think about it, just a small thing. And it's just living beer. Maybe someone will enjoy whatever is left behind. Why not? I do that in India too. Always leave something behind. Always come back with the only shirt. That's fine. Give it away. Small things, righteous things. This is how we are ready. The more we have, the greater, the finer will be the linen that we wear, given by God. Think about this. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the challenge to be the church that we ought to be, to rejoice in you, to praise you, to worship you with joy, with just great happiness in who you are, rejoicing in who you are, in the salvation you have given, in the judgments that are always true and righteous. And Lord, above all, we thank you that we can look forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb of God. help us to be ready as a church and individually for the day when we will meet with our Savior. Help us to look forward to that day. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.